Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Horse Ownership Experience with Billy Koch and Michelle Yu, right here on LA Talk Radio.
California Chrome, he's a unique individual, apart from his obvious talent. To the best of my recollection, you can go back 40 years without finding a Kentucky Derby winner that won a stakes as a two-year-old at as short as 5.5 furlongs. And you can go all the way back to Secretariat without finding a horse that was a Kentucky Derby winner that was a Grade 1 winner afterwards on the turf. Given his performance, given his pedigree, he's every chance of making an important sire, and he's definitely one of the great horses we've seen in the last 25 years.
Yes, he is, and boy, does he look good on all social media. I've seen a bunch of California Chrome. In fact, I think they created a California Chrome doll now, or like one of those horse statues. And California Chrome is standing at TaylorMade. Our main contact at TaylorMade is the great Travis White. He's been on the show. Everybody knows him. He's a superstar. I'm going to give out his work number. It's 859-885-3345. If you listen to the show, you're interested in breeding to California Chrome or any of the other TaylorMade stallions, please call Travis. I'm Billy Koch. I'm the founder and managing partner of Little Red Feather Racing Club, and this is the Horse Ownership Experience. This is year three, I think, I hope. It's incredible that we're still around. It's really all thanks to you, our audience, who listens and downloads. And my cohort in this crazy endeavor is Michelle Yu. Michelle, welcome to 2018. I know she's there. I cannot believe our first thing, and I can't hear Michelle.
Michelle, you can't hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. There you are. Of course, for those of you listening to our show, you know we are technically challenged. But Michelle, welcome to 2018.
But you know, our first show was actually February 3rd, 2015.
That's incredible. So we're on our third year anniversary? No.
Yeah, well, so let's see. 15 to 16 will be 1 year. 16 to 17 is 2.
17
so 6
to 18.
Yeah, this will be our third year.
This is incredible. We should have a party.
Well, the February 2nd is my baby's birthday. We can make it a joint
bring Olive in. And for those of you who don't know, Michelle Yu is now a superstar at Santa Anita. She is on the daily InterTrack feed. Is that what it's called, Michelle?
We call it the Simulcast Show.
And Michelle does a great job, and she's always giving out great insight on how the horses look in the paddock and going over all the past performances, and she's pretty amazing. So congratulations on your new gig for this year.
Thanks, Billy. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the nice feedback, too. I take negative feedback also, but I like it much better when it's nice feedback.
Okay, well, you can tweet the show for all negative feedback on Michelle, or positive, at Own a Horse. At Own a Horse is our Twitter handle. My Twitter handle is at BKLRF. That's part of my New Year's resolution. And Michelle, I don't know if you saw, but I tweeted the other day the video of Santiago Gonzalez doing jockey imitations.
No.
Oh, my God. So I Santiago Gonzalez, who barely speaks a word of English, but who I love. He's a sweetheart of a guy, right? And he does these imitations of the other jockeys. And so if you go on my Twitter feed, which is BKLRF.
Talking, like
no,
saying things that they say.
No, writing. You know how Rafael Nadal does all the other tennis players? Well, this guy, Santiago, does all the jockeys and how they ride. And I found it to be hysterical. So it's like New Year's morning, and we are just hanging out. And I said, let's do a video, and I'll put it on Twitter, because he's on Twitter, too. He's at JockeySG. Now, Michelle, you know me. I don't tweet. I don't really understand too much about tweeting. So I put this video up, and I said, not many people know that at JockeySG is the Rafa Nadal of the at Santa Anita Park jockey imitators. Check this out. And I said, hashtag Code Red, because I call him Code Red. And I said, hashtag Happy 2018. I put this video up. 76 retweets and 242 likes.
Wow, Billy.
Like, I'm so blown away. Like, all I had to do was put a video of Santiago up, and all of a sudden I'm like a tweeting superstar.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really funny. So if you're out there, check it out at BKLRF, and I'm going to try to do my best to do more tweeting in 2018.
Can we give a shout out real quick too?
To who? Sure.
To Champions Off Track up there in Canada. They are traveling today, so they're catching up on our podcasts.
Oh, nice. Champion. Well, welcome. I
told them lucky for them we have a new episode today. Since we've been on hiatus.
Brand new episode. And we are excited. We have Philip Stillwell joining the show today. Philip is instrumental in creation of the Medallion Racing, which is part of TaylorMade. And as you know, TaylorMade sponsors our show too. And we love those guys. But Philip has a great story. And he was out in Southern California this weekend because their mare that they just bought into won the Robert Frankel. Where'd you go?
Midnight Crossing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was.
You know, so I had no idea. Okay. So this summer, Carlos Santamaria, who is the assistant to Simon Callahan, had this awesome navy blue hat. And I wear my LRF one a lot and it gets pretty dirty. So I always am on the lookout for a new hat. And he had this one. It said Medallion Racing. I said, I love this hat. It fits me perfectly. So I stole it. So I've been wearing it. I had no idea who they were. I didn't know what horses they had. And so when I saw that they had won a race, I was like, we should get these guys because I wear their hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had no idea the whole thing about TaylorMade or anything. So I'm excited to learn all about it.
You know, they're also involved in Insta Irma, who won the Swing Time Stakes and finished third in the Matriarch. And yeah, I mean, they got a ton. And Beau Recall, I think they own a part of. So they have a good business model, and we're going to have Philip tell us all about it in about less than 10 minutes. So if you're sticking around.
Okay, so how about we jump into – obviously, we've been gone for like 3 weeks, but we'll just kind of keep it to recency as far as races go. Is that okay?
That's fine. Do it.
Okay, so how about Daddy Little Darling winning the American Oaks, the final grade one of the season, and I felt like she was a deserving winner. She has tried so hard all year on every surface you can throw at her. And with the exception of that freaky thing she did in England, she's been pretty consistent. So I was excited for her.
Yeah, a good win. Very nice win. I thought she, in handicapping wise, was by far the top pick. She stood out to me. So good win. Ken McPeak and his team, great job finally getting
Did you see the picture of him carrying Mrs. Polk down the stairs?
I did not see that.
So his owner, Normandy Farm, Mrs. Polk, she's an advanced age, and she uses a wheelchair. And at Santa Anita, the most direct way to the winner's circle is like 50 stairs.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I guess they were looking for a wheelchair and just couldn't get it. And Kenny goes, never mind, I'm carrying you. And he just scoops her up and he carries her down all the stairs and brings her to the winner's circle. And she was so happy and she was so excited and, you know, was so thankful. And Kenny said he's toted her all around the world this year because he wanted to get her this grade one. So it was awesome that she was on hand for it.
Yeah, it's a great story. Great story and a nice filly. And she'll be one of the tough older turf fillies in America this year.
Turf. I mean, she can run on anything, it seems.
Yeah.
She ran second in the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, so then opening day at Santa Anita, of course, was the day after Christmas, and we had some pretty impressive winners, including City of Light for Mike McCarthy winning the Grade 1 Malibu, and Giant Expectations defeating Collected in the San Antonio, stamping his ticket to the Pegasus World Cup.
Very impressed by City of Light. It's funny. I was talking to Drayden Van Dyke, who rode the horse that morning before the race. And I said, who you got today? You like anybody? He goes, man, I really like my horse in the Malibu. And he said, but I got a break from the rail, and I know how good the other horses are. He goes, but man, this horse is awesome. Of course, I didn't play the horse at all. Michelle, I lost every bet I made on opening day. But congratulations to Mike McCarthy, his team, and the ownership group associated with City of Light. He ran awesome. Beat a pretty good group, too. Was very slow on sheets going in, and just, you know, some horses just improve. So great job of training by Whitey. And as far as that other race goes, what was that other race? What was the race? What was it called?
The San Antonio?
I mean, what a joke. I've never been, like, angry at a race. And look, I'm a Collected fan. I think he's an awesome racehorse.
To me on any of the – on Tom Quigley's show, on the radio show, on the simulcast, I said Mike Smith will not fit this horse. Do not single him.
Well, you were right because he wrote – I mean, he admitted it. I mean, he admitted after the race he's a bad rider. It's like, when was the last time in Southern California a two-turn graded stake race for older horses went a half mile in 49? That's ridiculous. I was laughing. I was standing with our trainer, Phil D'Amato, after the race, and I said, if Midnight Storm was in the race, we'd have had a 15-length lead.
No, yeah, seriously.
I mean, no
seriously.
Joke. Like, I can't not believe. And there were speed horses in there. I mean, Accelerate is fast. Collected is fast. Giant Expectations is fast. There were other horses in there. They're fast. I couldn't believe. When I was watching the race, I was like, this is, something's not right. Something's just not right.
You know what? They thought that Mike was going to maybe teach him to rate, quote unquote, which in my eyes he rated in the Breeders' Cup Classic, so I'm not sure, but this horse is quirky. At one point we didn't think he would ever go a step beyond a mile, then it was a mile and an eighth, and then it was a mile and a quarter. But Martin knows that horse so well. If Bob Baffert did not get done with that race, unsaw that horse and call Martin for the Pegasus, I would be like, I don't even know what to say.
But poor Martin is freezing his butt off in New York right now, and they're canceling races left and right. I feel bad for that kid. But at least I'm sure there was a little smile on his face when, even though I'm sure he was rooting for Collected, I'm sure he had a little smile on his face. Right, Michelle?
No, he's totally not rooting for Collected. He's totally thinking, like, I know this horse and no one's going to win on him.
There you go. Philip Stilwell coming up.
So we had Pee Wee Reese win the Joe Hernandez. He is so... the 2018 version of Obviously, right?
Yeah, no, he is. I know Phil has big plans for him, and congratulations to Nick Alexander, who's not only a great owner, breeder, head of the TOC, good man overall. You always got to root for Nick. Yeah, Phil was really impressed. I saw him after the race, and he said to me, he said, man, he goes, I thought he'd win, but I didn't think he'd win like that. You know,
he crushed.
And apparently Joe Talamo said, hey, Phil, if I wanted to, I could have won by more.
Wow,
he said he had a lot more
cool.
horse. So, yeah, so look forward to Pee Wee Reese as the new Phil D'Amato version of Obviously / Midnight Storm coming up in 2018. Congratulations.
Let's see. Midnight Crossing, we already touched on, winning the Bobby Frankel, and I really liked that horse in there. I thought we might see a send situation, and we did, so that was cool. Ippodamia's Girl won the last race of the year.
Yeah.
For Mike Pipey, and she'll be heading towards the Providencia.
Now, if anybody of you have watched the start of 2018 or 17-18 at Santa Anita, you better keep an eye on Mike Pipey. Gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Not only is he a great guy, one of my better friends at the racetrack, and our
best
trainer.
I've ever met.
He's just a super guy. And, you know, he's done some things. He's cut down on his number of horses. He's really focusing on quality instead of quantity. And, you know, he had a really good winner. I believe the horse's name was Boogaloot. Boogaloot at 6-1. And this filly wins. And, you know, I'm so happy for him. And you guys just keep an eye out for Mike Pipey in 2018. I think it's a year he... Remember, this guy won back-to-back Breeders' Cups with Misdirection with virtually no races in between. I mean, that was one of the greatest training jobs in history, and it just kind of gets overlooked. And Mike Pipey still knows how to train people, so wise up.
Silent Bird won the Midnight Loot. Speaking of a guy that's on a little bit of a streak, Mark Glatt's been sending out some nice winners, and that was a situation where Kent DeSormo just outrode the crap out of Javier Castellano.
That was, you know, I like that, Michelle. I'm glad you brought that up, because so many times nowadays, riders are afraid. They're afraid of the stewards. They're afraid of race riding. Back in the days, you know, you couldn't just come up the rail, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, I implore our audience to go watch the race of Silent Bird the other day and watch how DeSormo kind of floats out a little bit and then just
and
absolutely
he sees him coming, he's like,
shuts him off. And you know what? Good for Kent, good for Mark Glatt, and good for riders everywhere, because we need more of those kind of rides. I mean,
you know who did not like that was Peter Miller. He was so mad. He was so mad.
Well, you know what? Look, it was a good ride.
It was a good ride.
The horse was not taken down. Calculator never, you know, of course.
I don't even think there was an inquiry.
No. Well, they always look. But the beauty of it was that, you know, if this is SoCal, if it's one of our other guys, the actors, you know, Castellano didn't react.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying something, and good for him, you know, not to be just fake and pull up your horse and cause the inquiry, because he really didn't. He didn't impede him. He just said, you know what, you're not coming up the rail. Mm-hmm. Why is that illegal? Someone answer me that.
It's not. It shouldn't be.
I'm tweeting that. Why is that illegal?
So that was awesome. And the last horse I want to talk about racing wise, how about Axeman? So Santa Anita has done this new couple of races, and we got to see the first one this weekend. It's a restricted maiden special weight for barns that have a homebred horse, or the horse cost under $100,000 at a public auction. So this is really meant to, you know, help support people so they don't have to run into Bob Baffert every time he sends out $1 million horse.
Yeah, but he has homebreds.
Bob Baffert kind of snuffed his nose at this, because he said, you know what I got? I got a homebred too. I've got a homebred that has been outworking my grade one winner, Mackenzie, and here he is.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. That's a nice horse. But she's related to Indian Blessing. I mean,
he's a half to Indian Blessing. He's a half to Maker or Breaker. He's a half to the Spaniard.
It's beautiful. All of
that mare, Shameful's Foals, have been winners.
Who's he by? Who's he by, Michelle?
He's by Misremembered.
Misremembered, right, which was also Baffert.
Uh-huh. All right, well, Helen Petty, Earnhardt, bred him.
How many times? We should do an over-under. It's our first show, and we're going to have an over-under on how many times we have to say congratulations to Bob Baffert on the show this year.
Okay, 50.
All right, let's get Philip Stillwell on, because we want to talk to him.
And Wait, real quick, what did you think of Axeman?
He was awesome.
Okay. Fuck. Just want to know what you thought of him.
He was awesome. I just swore on the air.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, good. Here comes Philip. Philip! Where are you, buddy? Listen, technology, not our strong suit here. But, oh, there he is. I heard him pick up. There he is, Philip Stillwell. Welcome to the Horse Ownership Experience. It's Billy Koch and Michelle Yu.
Thank you for having me.
We've just been singing your praises for the last 15 minutes, so we're going to stop and take a step back. What we like to do, Philip, is let our audience kind of get to know the people we're talking to. So tell us a little bit about how you became involved in horse racing and give us your story before we go in and talk about Medallion.
Yeah, so basically I grew up in Lexington, and my dad was basically just a gambler that was an attorney, and he loved going to the Red Mile. So we used to go to the Red Mile all the time, and I have a twin sister and a brother that's 18 months younger than me. So I have two siblings that are very close in age, and horses was kind of one thing that was just my dad and I. My siblings never really showed any interest. So it more from, you know, the Grand Circuit at the Red Mile to Keeneland, to eventually really getting more into handicapping. So it's all kind of from a race perspective of just going to the races, spending a lot of time with my dad, who taught me everything I know about handicapping races and assessing talent and everything like that. And then when I was 18, I started working the horse sales for TaylorMade. And about this time, I went and worked at the farm for 6 months, and the market crashed. And I said, I better go back to school and figure out what I want to do. And I went to school to be a middle school teacher, and I'd coached youth swimming. That was like my full-time job. I coached youth swimming while I went to school.
And for those of you who don't – wait, Philip, let me stop you there. Okay. For those of you who don't know Philip, Philip's a big, strong guy. So I can imagine the swimming. Let's talk about that for a second. Were you a swimmer?
At some point, I was a pretty good swimmer. Unfortunately, now I'm just big. I don't know how much strength there is. But at one point, I was a pretty good swimmer. I was a swimmer and played baseball. But swimming was kind of always what I liked more. I was probably a little better at baseball than I was at swimming. But, so I was a swimmer, and then I just started coaching. I loved working with kids. But I did not like teaching, so I did my student teaching and basically hated it. And at the same time, I was coaching Mark Taylor, one of the owners of TaylorMade. I was coaching his kids in swimming. He said, clearly you have this huge passion for horse racing. If you ever decide that you want to do something else, you know, you can come out and work at the farm, you know, starting at the bottom. So I decided that I was getting ready to get married, and I said, you know what, my wife always wanted to marry a horse groom, so I went out and groomed horses and kind of worked my way up.
And that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of people come into the horse business. They don't know much. Like you were a handicapper. You weren't really hands on, but you have to start at the bottom, and you have to know you know how to groom a horse, because you have to know the body parts of the horse. You don't have to know about conformation. You have to know about what they do and how they behave. That must have been very important in your training.
Yeah, I would say, you know, on one hand, it's like frustrating because you're like, you know, I want to be, I have higher aspirations than this, but I wouldn't trade that time for anything. Like, the not only just the knowledge that you gain and having a better understanding of horses and just the mindset of being around them every single day and what makes them happy, what makes them angry, what are common issues you have to deal with, but then just getting appreciation for everything that goes into making this industry work. And, you know, like on the racing side, but what those guys, everything that goes into it every single day to get this horse to perform at its peak, you know, in a race, is just unbelievable. And it's something I wouldn't trade for anything. It was an invaluable part of, you know, developing me into what, you know, the person I am now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let me go back in time a little bit. You talked about the gambling with your father, and Michelle and I always talk about gambling on the show. We're both handicappers. We both enjoy to bet. What was the one thing your dad taught you? Was it form related? Was it sheets? Was it to look at a horse? Give us some. What were the Stillwell family jewels of handicapping?
It was all form related. So. I know, like, you know, people up on the East Coast use the sheets, and a lot of people out in California use Thorograph. And as I've advanced, I dabble in a little bit of everything, but really just how to read the racing form, and really just from, you know, a lot of it is from a pace perspective. We obviously are at Keeneland, which before Keeneland had the poly track, they basically, it was like a conveyor belt. If you got on the inside and on the front, you had a huge advantage. And so a lot of it was really just assessing, you know, what horse do we think is going to get the lead, going to be on the inside, and then kind of go from there. So that's a huge part of what I do now, you know, like when assessing horses, like, is this horse up against it? And maybe they ran really well, so maybe it's a horse we want to try to pursue, or was it bias aided or whatever. But really just how to dive down in and figure out how a race is going to play out, you know, in my mind, and then hopefully it plays out similar. But he laid the groundwork for all that.
That's amazing. All right, so you start working for TaylorMade, you're at the bottom, you work your way up, and now tell us about the creation of Medallion Racing, because you guys have kind of jumped on the scene. You've had some great success with whoever the dog is in the background. What's the dog?
So really what we had was, she's Frankie. She's named after Frankel, but she's not used to having somebody home. But I work in a cubicle with four people, so if I'm gonna take this call, I better go somewhere other than this office.
Oh, that's good. We appreciate that, Philip. Tell us about Medallion and the concept, so, and how it got started.
So really obviously, you know, TaylorMade, for people that are more involved in racing, you know, we're the largest consigner of thoroughbreds at public auction in the world. But we really don't have this racing stable like some of our, you know, competitors and other people do, like Lane's End and other farms. So we bought into California Chrome, and we syndicated some of our shares out. So we had all these people that got involved in California Chrome, which obviously was the ride of a lifetime for most of those people. And then shortly after that, we bought into Catherine Sophia right before she won the Kentucky Oaks. And we had, you know, kind of a similar thing. We bought, I think, like 30%. Some of these people each had like 1.5-2%.
Philip, was there some kind of demand amongst your clients that made you decide, let's buy into a racing horse when your business has mostly been breeding?
What I would say is California Chrome was kind of a breeding angle. You know, we bought in. It was a very unique opportunity. When you buy a stallion share, it's incredibly rare that you would ever get to race the stallion and participate fully in earnings. Now, you may be able to buy a share and the stallion's still running, but you're not you're a participant in the fact that if he does well, your share might be worth more, but you're not getting race earnings or anything like that. So the opportunity to buy into California Chrome while he was still running and you were a full active participant was incredibly rare, and I think it was kind of a unique offering, and it got a lot of our core clients that said, hey, I don't really own any horses. This is a really cool opportunity. I want to jump right in. And then he went and won, you know, the Dubai World Cup and et cetera. So shortly after he wins the Dubai World Cup, we buy into Catherine Sophia. And it was a lot of the same people that said, hey, you know what? I don't really have race horses. We think this could be a good opportunity. At that point, she wasn't even going to run in the Kentucky Oaks because Songbird was out there. And, we had a lot of people, like I said, that just took 3%, and we split it up, I think, amongst 10 people. And then Songbird scratched, and, you know, the rest is history. She went on and won the Oaks. So I think California Chrome kind of jump started it. And then with Catherine Sophia, it really said, hey, you know, we can participate at a higher level. So the goal of Medallion was we had an appetite amongst our current clients, but what happened was we would say, hey, we think this Philly is a good opportunity to buy into. And then we would have to go out, call all of our clients, say, you know, would you be interested in buying 3%? We're going to syndicate it amongst 10 people. We're going to buy 30%. And then we call the guy and the horse in for sale, or they want an astronomical number, and it would be a complete waste of time. You get everybody's hopes up. So we said, if we want to do this more, we need to have a more formal partnership where we can pre-raise the money and we can go out and, you know, we can watch a race on a Saturday afternoon. The horse that we want to try to buy runs really well. We can call Saturday night and say, hey, you know, hope, congratulations, your horse ran really well. Would you ever be interested in taking a partner? And so that's kind of how Medallion got started. And really the goal is every partnership is different. We said there's, if you look at like what Saul Kuhman's done, he's obviously an individual now. He has a few different partnerships, but there's really no partnership that kind of does that. Now, a Little Red Feather does do that some, but that's solely focused on trying to buy into horses that are actively running at a very high level. So that was kind of, we felt like there was a little niche in the market.
And primarily,
you know, for us to,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, and primarily fillies and mares too, which have residual value, which also lead to,
yeah,
to TaylorMade. Is it part of the deal that TaylorMade ultimately will get to sell those fillies if you're still involved?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that, so that, and that, yeah, makes perfect, like
a,
sense.
It's a part, and TaylorMade is invested in the partnership as well,
which people like. I mean, people like when you have skin, right, in the game. Yeah, it's incredible. And okay, so it sounds all, and tell us, let's go through a couple of these horses, because just over the weekend, you had a grade three Frankel win with a filly that was a huge long shot and didn't really even stack up numbers wise. Tell us a little bit about Midnight Crossing.
Yeah, so we bought Midnight Crossing in Keeneland, November. So kind of just to harp on what Billy said with fillies and mares, you know, the goal is with our partnership is to race at a very high level, and we're trying to mitigate some of the risk by buying horses that have some sort of residual value, whether it's 50% of the total purchase price or whatever. But to say, you know, you go buy a yearling and it doesn't work out, then, you know, you could be at 100% risk or more considering bills. So we're trying to buy the filly. So this filly was grade three placed before the sale. She was a Dark Angel filly, which is one of the top young stallions in Europe. She's a half to a graded stakes horse. The dam's a half to a grade one winner. So it's a really good pedigree, and she's a very good physical. So we said, hey, if we can just win a stake, we paid $240,000, all we own 35%. We said, if we can just win a stakes race, then we're going to make money. And we bought her with Abenanza Racing and David Meehan, and sent her out to Baltus, and she's training really good going into the race. And then, Brees gave her a great ride this weekend, and we got lucky and won a grade three. So, and she's going to pay for a few of the other horses.
How has been the response from the people that you're buying in with? Like you said, you've teamed with Abenanza. I think there's a couple other guys that you've, you know, joined into this partnership with. When you call people, I mean, Billy's told us how the like LRF crowdfunding worked and how Costa Jarones and them were very, you know, enthusiastic to bring on. Are you met with some kind of enthusiasm?
I would say it's mainly positive. I mean, you know, not a lot of people don't want a partner, period. Doesn't matter if you have 1,000 investors or one investor. Kind of the nice thing about us is for a long time, we didn't even have our own silks. We said, hey, we're coming in. We're going to be a minority partner. You're in complete control. The horse is going to get to run in your silks. All we really want is we want to be a part of the experience. We're obviously, you know, we're going to pay a percentage of our bills. We're going to receive any, you know, any purse earnings or anything like that. But really, we want the experience. So we don't need to be running in our silks. We don't need to be controlling anything. We want to go in the paddock. If the horse is lucky enough to win, we want to go in the winner's circle. So I think when you put that to a lot of people, they're like, oh, okay, I don't really give up anything. I get to maintain a majority ownership for the upside, and I get to take money off the table. Most people are okay with it. Like, we've had a great relationship with Abenanza. We have a great relationship with Slam Dunk Racing, who were partners with Bo Recall on. You know, we've got a lot of other great, we own a piece of a filly named Selcourt who's training really well with John Sadler right now. Like, it's been a lot better than I thought. When we first started, like, we're not really sure. We thought the not running in our silks and buying minority interests was going to be a positive for people to take on partners, but it's worked out really well.
So you guys are looking for that premier race day experience. You get to go, like you said, to the paddock, to the winner's circle. You get to go eat in the director's room. And why has that been so important to the people that are a part of Medallion?
Yeah, I think, you know, we look at, like, the just the current investor base for Medallion. We have some of the core TaylorMade clients, but we have some people that are completely outside the TaylorMade realm. And those are the people we really want. Like, we have, TaylorMade's very fortunate. I'm very fortunate that we have a lot of support from core clients who have been customers for 30 years, that anything we say, hey, we think this is, would be fun for you, it's a good opportunity, they're just going to put money in. But what we really want is we want people that are going to go to the races, are going to enjoy this thing. Like, if you go buy a yearling, there's this gap where you have to wait. You know, you buy it in September, the earliest it's going to run is April. So you have this period of time where there's no action. And even if it runs in April, it may not be any good or whatever. So we said, hey, we're going to buy in these horses that we know have talent, and it's going to be an immediate thing. You know, we're going to buy into, you know, we bought into Bo Recall 3 weeks before she ran second to Sir Cat Sally and got beat like a head in a grade two. And it's that immediacy, I think, that really resonates. And it's a very high level. Like, we have other investors that have, you know, one guy, he texted me, he said, I'd much rather run third in a grade one than win a maiden special weight. And some people don't. Some people, you know, they love playing the claiming game and other things. But I think there's definitely a market for people that want this experience that, you know, to be honest, a lot of people put a lot of money in and never get to the graded stakes level or the grade one level.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that what TaylorMade does is, and they do everything this way, they want to play at the top levels. And I think by using this partnership model, which I think probably was my idea at some point, Philip, that you guys stole.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, it's okay. You know, imitation's a serious, the best form of flattery.
The best,
right?
Form of flattery.
Correct. For those of you listening, Philip and I are good friends, so he knows I'm joking. But, it's really great. It's a great way to get people into the game. And that's basically why Michelle and I started the show, is to get the word out for all these people. You know, we've had every type of partnership on here. We've had people from West Point. We've had Eclipse. We've had who else, Michelle? I mean, we've had every – we've had and I think the way of the partnership, the way that 2018 is shaping up, and you saw it last year even in the sales, is that even these big conglomerates, Windstar and China Horse Club, you know, TaylorMade and X, it makes – people are realizing there is strength in numbers. And I think that's the theme that Medallion is also showing. And I'm proud of you guys. I think you guys are doing such a great job. What is your role in Medallion? Who's really running the show, Philip, just so we know?
So basically, I kind of run the show. So we originally started out, it was Marshall Taylor, myself, and then kind of as we got through the fundraising stage and we got into the actual, like, we're acquiring horses and all this, it really kind of morphed into like a one-person job. Marshall's been a great help to me with a lot of the other stuff. He kind of has other responsibilities at TaylorMade. And I was kind of the person that was best suited to take over kind of just handling the day-to-day operations, whether it's communicating with the trainers, communicating with the owners, getting people set up for tables when they want to go to the races, identifying horses that we want to try to pursue. So really, you know, it's, TaylorMade is a team. There's, you know, we have 10 or 15 guys in the office that all have a wealth of experience and knowledge. So I try to rely heavily on them, but I'm kind of like the racing person. You know, a lot of guys at TaylorMade, they're dealing almost exclusively with selling yearlings or, you know, doing matings or managing people's horses that are on the farm. I'm kind of the one guy that focuses almost all my energy on things outside of the farm.
Makes perfect sense to me. What are the goals for 2018? How much, if you can tell us, how much was raised, or how many horses are you looking for? And give us a little insight on one of our favorites, Insta Irma, who should be running pretty soon.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and start with the update on Insta Irma. So she's doing great. She's going to run hopefully 2 weeks from today in the megahertz, as long as everything goes well. So, you know, I think the big thing, like, we have aspirations as high as the horses can take us. You know, they have to be the ones to do it. Last year was a really good year for us. We ran in 9 grade one races. We placed in 3 grade ones. We placed in a bunch of other graded stakes. We won our first graded stake this past weekend. We had a couple, you know, we had Beau Recall, got beat 2 inches in the Del Mar Oaks. And we had a good year for Roses, who ran the second fastest mile and an eighth race on grass at Santa Anita in like 27 years. She just got unlucky that the first fastest happened to be Lady Eli in the Gamely. So really, I think for us, it's just to try to be competitive at the graded stakes level. I'd love to say we won 1 graded stakes this year. I think we're in a really good position to increase that number this year. But last year we raised a little bit over $1 million. We got 8 horses. We had a little inflow this year of we had a couple new guys that came in that partnered with us on the 4 horses that we bought at Keeneland November, one of which was Midnight Crossing. So, you know, I think for us, the goal really is I want to win more graded stakes. It's fun being in the winner's circle. It's not so fun when you run second or you run third. We were very fortunate last year. I think every horse we bought except one ran a lifetime best number on those sheets and buyers after we bought them. And really, that's the goal. You know, we're trying to buy horses that we think can get better and improve. And it's hard to win graded stakes. You got to get a little lucky. Well, but I think the horses that we bought ran really well.
And you're putting them in the hands of good trainers. Richie
and that, and to be that, that is a huge part, because when we're buying in, we don't have any control. So, you know, when we go in and we buy Beau Recall and she's with Simon Callahan, like, it's a lot of trust in Simon Callahan to do a good job. And we're very, very, very fortunate. Like, all the guys, the trainers that we've had have done really well. And I think the best thing is you have to do right by the horse. Like, if the horse isn't 100% or there's something wrong, like, I want the trainer to say, hey, this horse isn't doing right. Like, the best move is to give him 2 weeks and skip this race or whatever. Like, you know, Bill, you were part of Insta Irma, but we kicked around, like, maybe do we try the Rodeo Drive? Nobody is shipping out from the East Coast for the race. And Balsam are pretty adamant. They're like, you know, no, we just wait a week. Like, we don't want to run her a mile and a quarter right now. We want to run her a mile. And then she won the Swing Time Stakes in the next start.
Right.
And then we gave her more time and she, you know, ran third in a grade one. So that's a huge part of it is we have to place, like, obviously I'm based in Kentucky. And these trainers, they're great, and we're very fortunate to have a lot of the top trainers in the country. So
it's all a great plan. I really appreciate it, Philip. And Michelle, do you have any other questions before I wrap things up?
Well, yeah, we see, you know, you're based out here with the Richard Baltus team, and like you said, with Simon Callahan. When you're looking at these horses, are you specifically looking at any trainers? Or are you just purely looking at the horse that you want to buy into, and hopefully the trainer situation will fall into line?
Yeah, just the horse, because, you know, obviously if the horse is doing well enough to where they're on our radar, the trainer's doing something right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe very strongly that, you know, I mean, you can look at percentages and all these stuff, but, you know, to win at the graded stakes level is very hard. And you have to have, I think all the trainers tell you, it's a total team effort, from the exercise rider to the hot walker to the grooms to everybody. And so the last thing we do is say, oh, this horse won a graded stake, we're going to pull the horse and send it to somebody else, which we're not even in a position to do that. Mm-hmm. Because we're only buying a minority. But it's just the horse. Like, the trainer's got the horse to that level to where they've had a decent level of success, and we want to try to reward that. And plus, like, we're trying to, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, it's part of TaylorMade. Like, I want to try to grow, you know, my own personal career, the TaylorMade's business model. But the more people that we can be associated with, I think, is good for us, and I think it's good for them. We're going to be a great partner that's very easy to deal with, that is going to let them take money off the table. I think you know, it's easy to say it's a win-win, but I think it is a true win-win for everybody.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a good model. Philip, give us one of the things we've done for the first 3 years. You know, this is almost 3 years of the Horse Ownership Experience. How about that? Pretty cool,
that's right? Awesome. Pretty cool, I know, right? Hey, just to give a shout out to Travis White, who's Billy's best friend at TaylorMade. But every Tuesday when I go down to, and Travis is always listening to the show. So,
Of course, he is.
I would have never known about the Horse Ownership Experience if it wasn't for Travis.
There you go. Well, you better tweet at. Yeah, I don't know if you're a Twitter. That's my 2018 main New Year's resolution, is to tweet more. I'm not very good.
Yeah.
Most people are like, I had a meeting. Gym, lose weight. Billy's like, I need to tweet more.
I have to lose weight.
Yeah. Well, hey. Yeah. That's my wife would tell me that my goal might be to be more active on social media. My wife's goal would be for me to lose weight.
Well, that's everyone.
That's the wonderful part about being married.
Well, this is, of course, this is a show about horse ownership. And we'd like to always leave with when our guest gives us a piece of advice about. If there was a newcomer out there, what's the one thing you would tell them as far as getting into horse ownership? Just one lesson, one piece of advice.
I think the biggest piece of advice I could give someone is just to be an active owner. Like, the worst thing you can do is just throw a bunch of money in and not be active in what's going on. And, you know, and we've had some people that have contacted us and they've put a lot of money in and they just don't know anything and they've got nothing out of their experience. You know, it's a very hard game, and at least if you're active, you're going to be learning and you're going to figure out, hey, this worked well, this didn't work well. So I think the best advice for anybody that's new is just be a very active owner and try to learn as much as you can, because there are a lot of negatives. The great thing is the positives outweigh everything. Like, when we had a guy that the first horse he ever owned was Midnight Crossing.
That's amazing.
And he put money into a partnership, so his risk is less and he's able to learn more and he's getting a lot of information, but even if it's not a partnership, but he got a great experience and he's learning a ton.
Yeah.
And as a first horse, you know, he's like through the roof when she won. But I think that's the thing, is to really try to be active so you can learn as much as you can, because it's a lot and it can be very overwhelming.
That's great.
But the highs are unlike anything else.
Yes, they are, my friend. And we're going to have a lot of those highs in 2018. So congratulations on all the success from Medallion. We look forward to Insta Irma and Midnight Crossing. And
I love your guys' hat.
Reverse. Oh, yeah. Michelle loves your hat, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I'll tell you what. Next time I'm in California, I'll be out in 2 weeks. I'll bring some hats.
All right. We'll give them away here.
The problem is I'll give them to Billy, so it's on Billy to pass them on.
I will have the hats.
I do the simulcast signal. I sit right there outside the paddock. You can come hand it to me. I'll make sure they get taken care of.
And we'll do a drawing. We'll do a Twitter contest on for something to give away the hats here on the Horse Ownership Experience. Philip Stillwell, thank you so much. Have a great 2018 and continue to
assess. Thanks, Philip.
And go give Travis White a kiss for me when you get back to the office.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Philip Stillwell, Medallion Racing, TaylorMade, and a lot of interesting stuff.
Billy, I thought you said give your wife a kiss, but you said give Travis White a kiss.
I said give Travis White a kiss. Yeah.
I was like, woo, I didn't know you guys were that close of friends.
Hey now. We're really kicking off 2018. How about my super low nasally voice today?
It's not nasally, it's low.
Just low?
Yeah, it sounds good.
I have this like with a weird cough that's going around, like this, like, I don't want to do it on the air. I keep having to hit mute Michelle to cough.
Oh boy.
Oh, we're getting silly. All right, Michelle, what do we have coming up? We have a couple minutes left before we have to sign off.
Well, we are fastly approaching the Pegasus World Cup, and Gunrunner put in a blazing minute and 10 workout, which we rarely see from Steve Asmus and trainees. So far, the field is going to be Gunrunner, War Story Collected, West Coast, Toast of New York, Seeking the Soul, Stellar Wind is still in consideration, and Sharp Azteca might be on the table right now because he just worked a really nice 59 and change work at Gulfstream Park West, and so they are thinking maybe to stretch him out in this also.
Would you do that? Would you take a chance if you had a graded grade one winner like Sharp Azteca, who's probably best at seven furlongs to a mile, maybe one turn, finished second in the previous go? Would you take a shot and run him in the Pegasus for all that money?
I would consider, since it's a mile and an eighth. I mean, if it was a mile and a quarter, no, but I would consider it. I mean, I feel like this, right? Jorge Navarro has War Story, and he's putting him in there, and Sharp Azteca, no offense, is way more talented than War Story. In my opinion.
I understand. It was just a question.
Yeah. Like, I mean, are you like, yeah, I would. I think now if I have a, like, okay, like if I have Mind Your Biscuits, I would think about it too. If I had Run Happy, definitely. Like that, you know, those kind of sprinters like look like they can go a little farther. Yeah. Now if I have something that's stone cold five furlongs or six furlongs and doesn't want to run a lick over it, then no.
I just think it's one of those things that's really tough because it's so much money. But then it's like the second you cross the finish line in seventh, you're like, oh, God, what did I do?
Yeah, right? I know. I hear you.
I mean, it's really sad. I remember we took a shot one time. We ran a filly in the Matriarch that was like, you know, 30-1. But we had no more races for a long time. It was when the Matriarch was in Del Mar. It was like the first year that they were Del Mar Fall. And, you know, we didn't really have a lot of racing options after that because there wasn't turf for a month, and she was sharp, and she was, but she was 31, and we were so excited. And then after the race, when she ran like ninth, I was like, maybe it wasn't the greatest idea in the world. You know, you just kind of go.
Well, the people that enter the Kentucky Derby with like no shot whatsoever, and they like plod home in 20th, and it was like, geez, it cost me $150,000 to enter that.
Right, but then there's guys like Paul Redham who do this all the time.
I know.
And it just takes
away. And then it pays off sometimes.
Right. And I think he influences other people. You know what I mean? They're like, well, Paul Redham does it. But then,
like,
you know,
Ken Ramsey does it.
Right. And it, but it really doesn't work out a lot most of the time. Right. If you're just taking those big shots. But
well,
hey,
there is a reason that we run the race. That's right. What we always say.
It happens. Long shots win. Long shots win. What do we have coming up at Santa Anita?
Wait. Can I just one more set? Sorry.
No.
Jack Van Berg passed.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, at age 81, and his funeral in Hot Springs is set for the 8th, which is Monday. So sad. A long battle with cancer and congestive heart failure, and, you know, we saw him have a little revival in his return to racing, and I think Jack touched a lot of people in racing, and he'll be dearly missed.
If you never met Jack, it's shame on you. He was an amazing man. He was very kind, and even though he was this big, burly, you know, cowboy, he was very soft-spoken and very sweet. I see him all the time at Hollywood Park. Kind of grew up with the guy, and he will be sorely missed by this industry. And to all my thoughts and prayers and our thoughts and prayers from the entire Horse Ownership Experience Nation to his family, and what a great guy. And it's too bad.
Okay.
So
now we will get back to upcoming at Santa Anita. Really good weekend, so there's going to be simulcast Wednesday, Thursday. Live racing continues on Friday, and stakes this weekend include the San Gabriel, the Santa Ynez, and the Sham. So that means smells like Derby, Billy.
Three-year-old time.
Already.
That's pretty exciting. It's exciting. And you know what? And kudos to Santa Anita. They had a huge opening day. I think they had 40,000 people out there. It was packed.
And it felt super busy. Yeah, when they were staying, like last year, it was like 44, 46. I know some people on Twitter were like, let's get those recounted. Like Tim said, they hardcore counted them this year. It felt super busy.
Felt very busy. Felt busy, yes, on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
yesterday.
It did.
It felt great. Well, listen, Happy New Year to everyone out there listening to the Horse Ownership Experience. We really appreciate it. Tweet the show at Own a Horse, or tweet me at BKLRF, at the Michelle U. You can see Michelle in her simulcast from Santa Anita every racing day. You can email me, billy@littleredfeather.com, for all any questions that has to do with horse racing, the show. We have so many great listeners that contact us all the time. We really appreciate it. We're wishing you guys all a happy and healthy 2018. I can't believe it's 2018 already, Michelle. We're getting really old. I was just going to say that. We are getting really, really old. Well, that's it. What a great first show. Thank you to Philip Stilwell for coming on. Thank you to TaylorMade. Thank you to Santa Anita and Del Mar and all the tracks that make this show possible. So we really appreciate it. And
thanks to you, Billy.
Oh, God, well, I didn't do anything.
Who, if this was your brainchild.
Let's get a great guest on next Tuesday. Let's see whoever wins like one of those big races, like the Sham or something. Maybe we can get someone.
Yeah, right? Bob Baffert?
No, I'm not having Bob Baffert on the show. Oh, Sunday, by the way, is the debut of Scrambled.
Scrambled. I have that on my list, too.
Yes.
Actually. Yes. Yeah.
He will
debut. It's actually been like front page Blood Horse news, the first bowl of egg drop.
It's funny. Well, she called me the other day. She's very sweet. Claire, who does the writing for the Blood Horse. And she's like, can I talk to you about Scrambled? I'm like, sure. So he's he is a funny little dude. Wait till you see him. Go out and see him. He looks just like.
He looks just like Egg
looks
Drop.
Just like her. I mean, his face is different.
Is he mean, though? Is he mean?
He's totally mean. Oh, he's so mean. So it's great. It'll be fun. You know, wait, listen.
So what's his barn name?
You know, I don't know what they call him. I don't think he has it. I call him Whitey. He's just so white. But no, he's a cool little horse, and I think he's ultimately going to be best going long on the grass. But we're trying him down the hill. And
down
just
the hill.
Get a first start under him, and it'll be nice to see him out there. So,
I like it. I like it. We'll look forward to seeing him, Billy.
Okay, we will see you guys next week here on the Horse Ownership Experience. Bye,
everyone.
See you guys.
You're listening to the Horse Ownership Experience with Billy Koch and Michelle Yu, right here on LA Talk Radio.
California Chrome, he's a unique individual. Apart from his obvious talent, to the best of my recollection, you can go back 40 years without finding a Kentucky Derby winner that won a stakes as a two-year-old at as short as 5.5 furlongs. And you can go all the way back to Secretariat without finding a horse that was a Kentucky Derby winner that was a Grade 1 winner afterwards on the turf. Given his performance, given his pedigree, he's every chance of making an important sire. And he's one of the great horses we've seen in the last 25 years.